The Choose Love movement offers no-cost solutions that keep our kids safe, providing them with the skills and tools they need to flourish. Join us in our mission to create the world we want to live in, one that's connected and compassionate. Check us out at ChooseLoveMovement.org. Together, we can choose love.
Hello, Choose Love friends. My name's Scarlett Lewis. I'm the founder of the Jesse Lewis Choose Love Movement. I'm here with my mom, Maureen Lewis. We are having coffee. Actually, now we've moved on. I'm having tea. You're having water. But we're sitting at my kitchen table having kitchen table talk. Mm-hmm. And we thought that we would talk about one of the ways that my mom taught us growing up. And something that's very powerful and something that even my friends sometimes say that they say to their kids. And it's the what you could have said.
Your friends say that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What you could have said.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because Scarlett's younger brother had said to me, the one thing I remember that you used to say. That's why it brought it to my attention. Because I just said it not realizing the impact. Uh-huh. That it had on him for his, you know, he still thinks about it. And that is when you're in a discussion with someone and you know, maybe it's a fiery discussion, that instead of speaking, I guess, without thinking, what you could have said. And like Coulter would say something to me, for instance, and I would say, you know what you could have said instead of that? Instead of making that comment.
And then you would say it
and then
to
I
give
would say,
him the dialogue.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, growing up, this is how you could have handled that situation.
Exactly.
But it's like any situation. You know, about it. You're not in a great mood and you're walking through the kitchen on the way out and somebody says, have a great day. And you know.
Fire something off.
Yeah, and that's a perfect time to say to your kids, maybe not your spouse. Or maybe your spouse.
Yeah.
What you could have said mm-hmm. was, mm-hmm. thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you have a nice day too. I'm not feeling that great this morning.
Yeah. That's the simple one. But I mean, in any discussion, I mean, that's, yes, hopefully you would have something nice to say to someone in the morning. But, or, you know, rethink it and give them a good day. But it's in like arguments and like, you know, retorts mm-hmm. and things that you just whip out of your mouth. And then maybe it just helps to be able to say, you know what you could have said? And then kind of brings them back to another sense or just another path they could have taken with the whole discussion.
Yeah, an option. Your feelings are getting hurt. And
you're
so
defensive.
Then you're defensive, so then you're going to try to fire off something to somebody to hurt their feelings, mm-hmm. to defend yourself, mm-hmm. and that's a great time to say mm-hmm. what you could have said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just something that reminds you to think and, you know, to try to see the other person's point of view and maybe just see that particular argument or that situation in a different light, in one that is more compromising or more sensitive or more reasonable or more intelligent, you know, than just firing off some comment.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, what we try to teach in the Choose Love movement is that you pause mm-hmm. so that you can thoughtfully respond mm-hmm. to what's happening mm-hmm. with your prefrontal cortex, where logic and reasoning reside, instead mm-hmm. of your freeze, fight, or flight, your defensive mm-hmm. mode.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, but teaching kids that is important, but also this is a way to teach too. Mm-hmm. Instead of firing back, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you could have thoughtfully responded mm-hmm. like this. And then I thought it was very helpful when you said, you know, instead of just chastising, criticizing, saying, that wasn't nice. Mm-hmm. Why would you say that to me? Mm-hmm. That's hurtful. Mm-hmm. You would say, this is what you could have said. Mm-hmm. You could have said, I want you to understand my point
mm-hmm.
of view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or I understand your point of view. You know, when you're talking to someone, instead of firing back at them in defense. Okay, I get what you're saying, mom, or, you know, friend, whatever. Yeah, it really just kind of changes the whole thing.
There's or how about if they don't get it and they don't agree with it, They could say, I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Right, right, right. Exactly.
This is what I feel.
Yeah.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
To be heard.
It is. What you could have said. What you could have said. One of the examples that you give is, boy, I really screwed up. How can I fix this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If someone comes to you and they're saying, you know, why'd you do this? You know, and most people defend themselves and won't even admit they did something wrong. So I was just giving a response of what you could say is, wow, yeah, I screwed up. What can I do to fix it? That's not that hard to say. You know, it really, or it is.
Well, I mean, what I'm thinking is that takes
courage.
A lot of courage.
And it also takes awareness.
It takes self-esteem.
Yeah, it does.
You're right. To admit that I made a mistake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then not only just to say, oh, yeah, I made a mistake, but apologize.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the other thing that we have on the list.
Yeah,
to discuss.
Our podcast list, which is long.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is to say I'm sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes I would even get into situations where I would think, well, what they could have said, since you said that to us growing up, is, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
It just makes it so simple when you're wrong. Of course, that takes self-awareness. Confidence, self-esteem, all of this stuff, but that just stops it in its tracks, mm-hmm. right? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think I made the statement to you when we were talking about people need to just practice saying, say the words, I'm sorry, I'm sorry,
I'm sorry.
It's amazing how people can't say that.
It's true.
I don't care what they've done. I mean, even if for minor things.
Right.
Just, I'm sorry.
Right.
Do you all know anyone who says it? I mean, it's just so
Comment
rare.
If you do.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to say, I believe I say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I do. I feel like I say I'm sorry a lot because I feel like I make a lot of mistakes. And I feel like, you know, you can over apologize too. Sorry, 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 sorry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm
thinking the reason that I was so aware of that is it's hard for me to say I'm sorry.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I think the natural thing is to not want to be criticized and to feel that you are just being attacked. And I mean, even on a small thing, you can feel that you're being attacked. And because maybe you did something minor. I mean, I don't really know, you know, what the charge would be, but I think that part of my awareness of that saying that is that I have trouble saying I'm sorry sometimes because you're admitting you were wrong, that you are right to be charged with that, you know, and, but you have to realize that that is a strong thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
It means I recognize I made a mistake or even you think I made a mistake. I'm sorry, but let me explain myself.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the tenets of your Jesse Lewis Choose Love.
And it's got to be a true apology, not I'm sorry that you
think. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, or I'm sorry you think that I did, right? That's not an apology.
No. I'm sorry that you think that
right.
You were wrong.
Exactly.
But one of your tenets is to manage your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think of that because...
And take responsibility.
Yeah, and take responsibility for your actions.
Right.
So those two things...
We're responsible for our actions and our inactions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And you're sorry if you...
Yeah. So what? Do mirror work? Which is hard for people to do anyway, to look at yourself in the mirror, look at
with
yourself
your eyes.
In the eyes mm-hmm. and say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to do that first.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a hard time doing that,
mm-hmm.
which is, I don't have a hard time doing
I
that.
I just read something yesterday. It was talking about, you don't have a hard time doing that. I did the first time. I did
Well,
that.
It's kind of weird the first time.
Yeah,
you're like, okay. I love you. And
yeah,
but it's important.
Eye to eye is really effective.
It is. It's important
because
to be
you're
able to
looking
do.
Into yourself,
yeah.
kind of for the first time. I mean, who does that?
Right.
I know
Good
when
point.
I did it.
Good point.
And to say I love you. I just read something.
But then take that the next step and say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know.
Be able to say that.
Yeah. Because you got to be able to forgive yourself.
Yeah, it was something like
and saying you're sorry. You know, for the mistakes that you made to yourself is probably a good first place to start.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the way that I treat you, body, sometimes, for taking advantage of you. I'm sorry for not always being grateful for the way that you've actually shown up to every situation, no matter how hard it is. You've gotten me through, and I haven't always been grateful. I've criticized you. I've judged you. I've hated you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the first step that you've got to do,
looking
at yourself in the mirror. Then maybe it would be easier to say sorry to other people.
Yeah. You know what I say sometimes? I mean, there are two things. I don't want to say the other thing at some point, but sometimes I say to myself, like if my shoulder hurts, I'll say, you know what? We're in this together.
Mm.
We're all in this together, my mind, body, soul, and we're going to get through this, all of us. And I mean, I think it's like just kind of connecting to everything and how we can, even with a mind, overcome and heal and determination. But I mean,
our every thought we have impacts us on a cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
So we're either languishing or flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
And that optimism versus pessimism, the placebo versus the nocebo.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're thinking positive thoughts and you think that you're going to get well, that's a third of all medical intervention right there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the pharmaceuticals have a really hard time creating a drug that's more powerful than the placebo. And what is the placebo? The power of your mind.
Right.
And I've watched you do that with your knee. Like, I'll come in and you'll be rubbing your knee and I'll say, what are you doing? And you'll say, I'm talking to my knee because I just came from the knee doctor and he wants to do surgery. And I'm saying, no, I don't need to do surgery. Knee, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the ability to heal and you can heal yourself.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
and your knee did get well.
It did.
Right?
It did.
I mean, and they said surgery.
Yeah. Well, he said, I see a knee replacement. And I said, no. And he said, well, I see a partial knee replacement. And I said, no.
Yeah.
But I mean, I could have been wrong.
But you weren't.
I do believe that a positive, you know, approach and belief is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was something about, you know, talking about regrets. And
I just want to say one thing really quickly. Julia Richter, who's the director of our professional development, she has some slides in one of her presentations where her daughter had these warts all over her hands. And she talked to them and they went away. So she shows those pictures. And it's just like the power of thoughts that become your words, that become your actions.
Mm-hmm.
We're so much more powerful than we believe.
Well, I'm thinking of, it's inside my medicine cabinet. You just talked to him the other night. Anyway, he says the perception of, you know, of
Dr. Bruce Lipton.
Yes, talking
Love him. Biology of belief.
Yes.
Famous epigeneticist.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He is so amazing. And he says, talk to your cells in your body. Tell them what you want and be exact.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the power of perception and how that can be healing. It's however you, I'm going to die, you know, you will.
Right.
Are the other thing I think that is...
And we can do that with stress, too.
Yeah.
How do you perceive stress? Because there's stress that's good for you, that gets you up in the morning, that energizes you. We need it to become more resilient. And then there's distress. And that's a threat to your life, basically. And so if you look at what's happening in your life, think for a moment. Is it a challenge or is it an actual threat? And you'll find not a whole lot every day is an actual threat.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what's happening is just strengthening you. And it's a challenge and you can rise to the occasion.
So that brings up that change your words. Just change the words.
Yeah.
All you have to do is think of it.
And that's what you could have said.
Oh, that's true.
Right. Yeah, that's I'm trying to figure out how do we tie this in from where we began.
We're going off at all tangents. Right. But I mean, that is true, because what you say to yourself really matters. And I feel that way about age too, that a lot of people go by the numbers. And they're just like, they're, you know, if they're a certain age, they're going to act a certain way. And you don't have to. I try to not even put an age. Just don't. Just be the person you are.
I know. That used to annoy me to no end until I started understanding it, I guess. Because you would never give your age. Why do they need to know my age? I'm like, just say your age. Yeah, I'm not going to say my age. I'm like, just say, who cares? You are who you are. Yeah. Why do they need to know my date of birth?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to give it. I'm like, you have to give it. And then I started realizing, oh, I see why. Because you're telling your cells their age. Yeah. And you start acting your age when inside you don't really feel that age.
Yeah. And they are also putting you on a scale if they know your age.
Yeah. Yeah. If you tell somebody your age, they're going to treat you.
Yeah. And I don't ask people. I just don't think that's an identifying. That's an identity. You know, you just are who you are, where you are in life. Mm-hmm. So, and I do love Bruce Lipton, and I have that on the inside of my medicine cabinet to just...
A reminder to talk to yourselves.
Yeah.
It's really important. I mean, we know positive affirmations literally rewire your brain. Mm-hmm. Every thought you have is wiring your brain one way or another. You can change your brain through neuroplasticity. So if you're listening thinking, well, all I ever think about is negative stuff, that's a normal thing. But you've got to be aware of it. And then you can just change those negative statements to positive ones and rewire your brain and have positivity be your go-to. Optimism. Mm-hmm. Optimism is so important because it gives you your personal power back. Mm-hmm. You're able to handle difficulty and move
through it. You're able to sort of being able, you're able to... organize what really is important, and you know we're talking about this before. Prioritize, that's the word I was looking for, and just realize that a lot of this stuff that you let worry you and cripple you in a way is not. Just don't focus on it. Just realize what it is and put it, you know, on that shelf, a lower shelf. Mm-hmm. It's not something you're going to pay attention to because you're the most important thing. Is being happy, you know, managing your life and being happy, realizing, you know, all the things you have to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm. And I think not saying you're sorry is kind of a form of not taking responsibility or being accountable. And when you don't take responsibility or hold yourself accountable to things in your life, then I think by the very mere fact of that, you are somebody who's foisting blame on somebody else. Because if it's not your fault, if you're not sorry, then it's somebody else's fault, right? Mm-hmm. So then you blame, finger point, fault find. That means that you're not in control. Because if it's not your responsibility, you're not in control. Mm-hmm. So then things start to happen to you. You start to feel helpless, hopeless, and this is all locus of control. Mm-hmm. You don't have control, and you lose hope, you become angry, and that's kind of the definition of a pessimist. Mm-hmm. And then, but you can return that locus of control. You can say, I take my part of this responsibility, and I'm sorry for that. I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And it's so amazing how things just drag out and even get worse. Mm-hmm. And you could just stop it right there by saying, I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Why? I don't understand why that's so hard.
Right. What can I do to fix
it? Yes, I screwed up.
Yeah.
I've screwed up so many times in my life. You know, I mean, everybody does. And you learn from every single one only if you acknowledge your mistake. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you lose the opportunity to actually use something where you made a mistake to help you grow. Mm-hmm. But you have to acknowledge
it. And not only that, but it just stops any kind of productive outcome. Mm-hmm. It's just a stop. Because what do? When someone won't say, let's work together, or I can fix this, or what can I do to fix it?
Right, or I even made a mistake.
Yeah, right. then that just brings that whole thing. And then all this other stuff has to blossom underneath it to try to work around that.
I even denial. Think that it kind of erodes trust.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course it does. Definitely. Yeah.
And trust is the most important part of having a healthy relationship. Yeah. Relationships are the key to happiness per Harvard University's lifespan study. So you see how saying I'm sorry is so important to having healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say just practice that, saying those words.
Yeah. In the mirror.
Words, I'm sorry.
In the mirror. Yeah. Right. Then we had to go back to saying, well, first you have to say I love you first. Because really you have to love yourself before you can take responsibility and accountability. It does give you strength to be able to do that, to say I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I've read something. Of course, this is going to be kind of vague, but it was saying all the things that you love in your life. And they did this survey and they said, how many people said myself? And no one did.
Interesting.
No, and I thought, gosh, I wouldn't have either.
I wouldn't have either.
I would have said, you know, I love the clouds. I love the sun. I love my family.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have thought about that.
So interesting.
Yeah, that was just quite an awareness for me last night, you know?
It's amazing how all of this weaves together to form a good life.
Mm-hmm.
A life that's flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
A life that has joy.
Mm-hmm.
A life with no regrets.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, and when you can say, I love myself, it means that you are aligned with your beliefs, with, you know, your behaviors that are right, you know, that you align yourself, that you're being a truthful person, you know, that you're being a helpful person, a loving person.
If you're doing the best that you can.
Yes, yes.
Towards goodness.
Yes.
And love. You're choosing love.
Exactly, exactly.
Even though you make mistakes, we all make mistakes, but you still love yourself because you acknowledge them and you learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
You're strengthened by them.
Mm-hmm.
And you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about choosing love.
Yeah, it really is. Choosing love for yourself. And, you know, but maybe I can see where some people don't have that kind of introspection.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine not. Can you?
But you can teach that from an early age.
Yeah, and that's what you're doing.
Well, that's what Choose Love movement does, yes.
And who was it that, you know, I mean, I think of all these things, I can't attribute them to anybody, but to thine own self be true and know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are two of them, Aristotle or wherever. But how many people do? How many people even think about that?
Mm-hmm.
And yet that was said centuries ago,
mm-hmm.
the importance of that, of knowing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Because only if you know yourself, that gives you that self-awareness.
And can you love yourself?
Of what you're doing.
Because how could you love somebody that you don't know?
Right. Well said. Yeah. Well, first of all, you don't even think about it.
Right. Good point.
You're not there.
Right. And if you're not there for yourself, how can you be there for someone else in your life?
That's right.
And if you don't, if there's no love, there's no connection, there's no belonging.
Right.
So you're an island.
Right.
And that's not how human beings are designed to live.
Right.
We need each other. We're social creatures.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Isn't that interesting? I mean, really, it is how that, I mean, just unraveling this whole concept, when you get down to it, it is knowing yourself. It is wanting to know yourself. It is understanding that you can know yourself, that concept. I'm sure some people would go, what? You know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean know yourself?
Having the curiosity about that.
Yeah.
The introspection.
Yeah.
And again, the self-awareness.
Awareness.
We talk about that a lot, but that's the most important social and emotional skill that you can have. And it can be taught. Has to be taught.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah.
Because you think of, you know, everyone doesn't know that.
Right.
So this is a way of giving them that tool in the tool belt. be kind of a good exercise to say, what do I know about myself? And write it down, because, you know, mm-hmm. how deep can you go into yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a giver, you know, but mm-hmm. it's more than that.
I see concentric circles, you know, of importance.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
But what would the middle be?
Well, probably
love.
Ability to love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
It is.
And from all of that, actually, it could be radiating. Mm-hmm. Radiating.
Yeah,
out.
This heart in the middle, yeah. and then everything else radiates yeah, around.
From
it.
That. Yeah. And that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, you even think of people with damaged hearts, and I don't mean physically damaged, but damaged by trauma or childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How hard it is for them
mm-hmm.
to then, oh, but if they could just be taught to repair that heart,
mm-hmm.
you know.
That makes me think of kintsugi, this art form in Japan, where they take broken pottery
mm-hmm.
and they piece it together with golden joinery.
Mm-hmm.
And then they consider this piece that's repaired more valuable than the original piece. And I see our hearts that way.
Mm-hmm.
That they get broken, that we repair them, they get broken again, we repair them,
mm-hmm.
and then you have this shattered thing that's almost all gold after
yeah.
all of the repair,
yeah.
and it is so valuable.
That is the most beautiful concept ever. You've told me that before, and I what I had in the store was something I'd read about the Japanese, is that they don't throw away older chipped cups.
Mm-hmm.
They'll always have one served with their tea.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's drinking from chipped cups, which is not really safe. But it's just a reminder that things aren't perfect. Remembering a loved one, you know, I used to have that little saying, and it was a beautiful saying.
And you never got rid of chipped cups.
I know. I know.
And I don't.
But I still see the beauty in them.
Yeah.
You know, I really do.
Did you notice that you ate from a chipped? Actually, maybe I did. I ate from a chipped
yeah,
bowl.
No, I did
see
not
that? But I'm going to think of the chip differently now when
yeah.
I see it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very aware. I think of physical beauty and in things. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what a great conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. We've taken it lots
yeah.
of places. We started
yeah.
off with the what you could have said concept, but it went into, hey, simply I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
which takes you to needing to love yourself
mm-hmm.
to be able to take responsibility like
right.
that. But
right.
it all boils down to choosing love for yourself and
mm-hmm.
for others.
Mm-hmm.
And personal responsibility
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm. But for all that, you have to know yourself.
Yes.
Know thyself.
Yes.
And you have to be taught.
Which is self-awareness.
The awareness.
Which is a social and emotional right. skill called self-awareness.
Right.
That you can teach from a very early age. We start.
Oh, it would be so helpful for little kids to know
as
that.
Infants in the
yeah.
Choose Love movement.
Yeah. It's just such an incredible
piece. It's a completely different life
wisdom.
That you lead. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a life with more access to joy
mm-hmm.
and happiness
mm-hmm.
and togetherness
mm-hmm.
and love.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
And you're not just skimming on the surface of life. You have a full understanding of it.
Yeah.
You have better understanding of others, too.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, I mean, it's, yeah, this is huge. And I was going to say that what you could have said, people who are listening, friends who are listening, start saying that to your kids, because I think it's really important to let them know that there are other channels of replies and you know, ways to look at something, and more, you could be more respectful of the other person. You can see where they're coming from. And
even if your kids resent you for it, and roll their eyes and sneer and snicker and storm away, they're listening.
Yeah.
Because look at my little brother.
Yeah.
Who is now, you know, very successful business owner. And he says to his mom, that's what I remember that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that he was there going, thank you for the beautiful gift of the lesson that you taught me today when you
no,
were saying that.
Not at all.
Right? But he was listening.
Yeah.
Our kids are listening.
They are.
And
that was
learning.
Really funny when he said that, because I had forgotten that I said it.
Yeah.
And he said, that's the one thing I remember you used to say.
Yeah.
And I wondered if he says that to his kids now.
Yeah. What you could have said. Mm-hmm. What you could have said.
Yeah.
And then follow it up with a with what they could say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think I ever did that, but I think maybe he must have had.
You did. You did.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's what you could have said.
Yeah.
You could have said whatever it was. And it was a thoughtful response, not an impetuous reaction.
And
it was a thoughtful response that was, you know, well said from an adult point of view, using your logic and reasoning center in your brain. And it was really good.
And what is the thing you say about emotions? Not controlling them, but
managing them?
Managing your emotions. Mm-hmm. It's managing. And that is so important.
It is. And that's what's taught too.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. So,
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning for our tea at my kitchen table and for choosing love in your life as the very basis of it and having a lot of fun, which we had today with you.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's all part of us. We can all choose love. It'll lift you up if you let it in. Let